Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started. First thing I want to do is draw your attention to the slide. I commissioned Dylan this week with the task of coming up with a logo for the church, and he didn't disappoint. The original idea was for him to make several, and then I was going to put them up today. And we all kind of put our hands up and decide on one, but since his first one was so awesome, and we didn't have others to choose from, it made the choice real easy. So, so I made the executive decision and just rolled with it. Pretty awesome, huh? So, y'all can give Dylan a little pat on the back, and he done good. All right. Our message today is preparing for appointed times. We have seen that God has appointed times, you know, his weekly Sabbath and the yearly high days that we go through on a cycle. But has it ever occurred to you that he may just have actually appointed times for you or for me or for the church to do specific things? Have you ever noticed that when the timing is just right on something, that everything just sort of falls in place? You know, it was an appointed time for that. And I noticed as I was thinking about this that all through the Bible, you see God over and over preparing people to do things. Sometimes things that are decades in the future. I mean, if you think about Joseph getting thrown in that well and then 20 years later being, you know, Pharaoh's second in command and being able to save his family that tried to kill him. You know, if you're not familiar with that story, go read it. It's pretty cool. It's a long one, but go read it. It's pretty cool. When you think about Noah, you know, Noah built that ark for 100 years. 100 years! Building a boat in your front yard in a place that had never rained before. You know, I mean, he prepares people for things. And that really kind of struck me because he knows the end from the beginning. And so this week for me has all been about, my thoughts have been about being prepared for our appointed times. So I got to be honest. I sat down last night, you know, to put the sermon together. But it just came together because all week long, this has just been, you know, on my mind, being prepared for appointed times. You've heard the saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Well, maybe you haven't heard it before, but if you had, now you have. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And this week was really interesting for me because the Holy Spirit was just really on me about some very deep soul searching occurred this week. And I feel like I kind of need to have a heart-to-heart with you guys. I've been trying to figure out, as we all do from time to time, what it is that God wants me to do. Now, you all know me, and you know the journey that we've been on with respect to the church and our beliefs and our past and all of this. And, you know, I tried. I really tried years ago to go along with the crowd and just accept the easy, cheesy gospel. You know, I got involved in a church. I put in my time on Sunday. And I put in my time, you know, with the relationships. And I tried to move it forward. But you know, the harder I tried, the more empty I became. Because the louder and louder the voice was screaming in the back of my head, this isn't right. Something's not right. There was no peace. For some reason, God just wouldn't let me go. But you know, once I gave up and I said to God, okay, you know what, I don't know. You know, you're in charge. You lead. And I let go. Then over the past, you know, what has been a year, almost two, God has just blessed me with an overview of His work that is so beautiful and so complete and so astonishingly simple that it's incredible. You know, once I was plagued with doubt and confusion and all of this, and now I'm at peace. I'm just at peace. And, you know, once you really know what you know, once you really know what you know, you no longer have to rely on the support that comes from other people agreeing with you. Let's sink in a minute. Let me say it another way. I think that people tend to argue so much about doctrine because they are unsettled as well. And then they have to strive to try to get confirmation of their beliefs by getting somebody else to agree with them. Now, how did I figure that out? I figured that out by being retrospective. Because that's how I was. I was argumentative about these things because I was unsettled about it as well. You know? But God took me by the nape of the neck and He broke me down. And He forced me to dig. And you guys have watched that. And when I dug, He blessed it. And last week, I realized that as a result of all that, that is where the peace has come from. God has blessed me with that peace. You know, a while back He said to me very clearly, just listen to me. And I have. And you know what it's done? It's put me in agreement with Him. And you know, when you are in agreement with God, you don't need to be in agreement with other people for your justification. Peace. We know enough to be at peace. Do we know everything? No. Do I know everything? No. Am I in it? No. And you know that. But we know enough to be at peace and to be able to explain and have answers for some of the biggest questions out there. And to God be the glory for that. Not me. Not any of us. It's His doing and it's His work. So, having processed all that, I said, all right, now what? Like I said, I was pondering that question and then a scripture entered my mind. And you know, whenever you're kind of in that mode and a scripture pops in your mind, you probably ought to pay attention to it. So I pulled it up, and it's Luke 24. And it says, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. Now what's that mean? It means that somebody, you know, ignorance, they say, is not an excuse. It doesn't get you out of the law, right? However, a righteous judge can take that into account. Is there still punishment for breaking that law? Of course. But he's saying here, you know, he didn't know, but he committed things deserving of stripes, but he's going to be beaten with few. But then it goes on, and this is what the part of it that had popped in my head. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And that just sank deep in my soul, buddy. And I took a deep breath. And, okay, now what? The realization that God has committed so much to us is incredible. I honestly don't know why. I don't know why. It seems to me He should have given up, I mean, on me a long time ago, years ago. But the deal is, He's just simply more faithful than I am. He wouldn't let go. And He's not going to let go of any of you either. As you may know, Sherilyn has accused me for years of running from the ministry. And she's right. I have. And honestly, I had good reasons. You know, first of all, I didn't want the responsibility. It's scary to teach. And that's what it all boiled down to. I was scared. I was going to get through this. I realized this week that when I understood that this peace was not my doing, that peace was from God, and that peace was the opposite of the one thing that was standing in my way from doing what she's believed I've been called to do for years. So I'm announcing to you guys something you probably have already known. I'm not running anymore. You know, I'm your pastor. And I'm okay with that. I didn't want to be. And I was scared to be. But you know, God has given me that peace. And I'm not going to run from it anymore. I have that peace because I know that what has occurred up to this point is not because of me. I know that it's not my doing. And so that is what tells me that I can go forward and God's just going to keep doing it. All I got to do is show up. All I need to do is submit. He's done all the work up to now, and I have no reason to believe that He won't continue to do the same. And so I know this verse might be breaking right in the middle of a thought, and you can accuse me of proof texting if you want, but I also thought of this. This came to my mind, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Yeshua the Messiah. You know, guys, God does this work. All we have to do is be a vessel. We don't have to worry or fret about it. We just have to show up. And I guess that's what I'm saying, is that I'm showing up. And the one thing I do ask is that after church today, after we get done, I would like you guys to gather around. I'd like for you to lay hands on me. And I'd like you to ask God to anoint me to your service. And just be thinking about that through the rest of the deal. Think about what you'd like to have as a pastor. You know, you guys are going to do this prayer, not me. And for all of you that are scared about talking, please don't be. You know, it doesn't have to be eloquent. It's not what it's about. Guys, I need wisdom. I need strength. I need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. I need to have a servant's heart. I'll just be thinking about those kind of things that you know you need from a pastor. Because, just a man, you know my frame. You guys all know me. Right? Okay, I got through that. Like I said, today we're going to talk about preparing for appointed times. And the message is really twofold. First, I'm going to share with you what I've already started to do this week and will continue to work on with your help to prepare us corporately as a church body. Secondly, I've got 7 things for all of us, me included, to do as members. Understand, there's not this division of, you know, this guy's in the ministry and this guy's, you know, that's not how it works, guys. We are a congregation. We are all in the ministry. Okay? All of us. There are different roles, you know. And so I've got 7 things for all of us to do to prepare us for what lies ahead. What lies ahead for us, for the Lord's church? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I do know we won't find out unless we're prepared. So what have I been doing? Well, as I said, this week was an eye-opener. The reality that where much is given, much is required, really set in. You know, we're a small flock, a very small flock. But still, there has been much committed to this group. Much. And so there's things coming. God's not doing this just for us. You got to get that through your head. This isn't about us. Well, there's more coming. And when it's our appointed time to take what we know outside these walls, are we going to be prepared? And that's what this is all about. Preparing for appointed times. So I started this week to do some preparatory work. You know, you've all seen the new logo, thanks to Dylan. So now we have a face. But we have a little more than that. You know, we need to be able to have a vehicle to share what God has blessed us with. It's not okay for us to be given these things and have this understanding and then just sit on it. That's not what He gave it to us for. You know, we need to be able to get it out there. So now before you get all jumpy and think I'm going to go into some thing where we all got to go out and stand on a soapbox and do evangelism, don't forget these words of Yeshua. He said very plainly, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." God does the calling. God does His work. We need to show up and support it. Okay? He does the calling. That's not our job to do. You know, that's why I have peace. It's not my job to go out there. It's not your job to go out there and save people. You can't do it. Now, if God is out there saving someone, and you're prepared, He may use you to do it. And that's where we need to be prepared for that appointed time. Does that make sense? We've got to put ourselves out there as a light and be available. We have to live our lives in such a way that when somebody has questions, you know, and they're thinking, "Wow, man, what am I going to do? You know, gosh, man, you know what? Alex, I've watched Alex, and Alex seems like he, you know, he's got some answers, and he's things are working for him. Y'all go talk to him about this. I think I can trust him. You see? That's what it's about. So, you know, I've acknowledged that God has placed me in this position of ministry. But what I'm saying to you is that he's done the same with you. You know, you have a ministry too. Don't do like I did and run from it. Have peace with it. Because it's our own individual responsibility. Guys, we're a body. We're a body now. We need to prepare ourselves. Look around. This is your church. This is your ecclesia, your congregation, your brothers and sisters. And we need to start getting prepared for that. So, for a moment, I'm going to jump out of this slide deck, and I'm going to show you what I've been working on for us. I'm going to jump into a browser here, and if you go to thelordschurch.us, this is what you're going to see. It's just a start, okay? It's not it's not Amazon.com. It's humble beginnings. Remember, we're considering ourselves to be in a season of preparation for our appointed time. But guys, whether we're to impact Lawrence, Kansas, and grow in numbers as a congregation, or maybe it's just that we're to provide support and information and things for other people that have a lot of questions. I don't know. But either way, I know that we need a platform. We need a place where we can reach out. There's so much junk and darkness out there on the internet. You know, how about God using us to flip on a few lights? You know? As you can see by the little welcome message there, I haven't cowered down from what God has revealed to us. If you read that, you know, we recognize there's a deceiver at work to confuse mankind. You know? Next paragraph, the early church beliefs and practices that Yeshua founded under the new covenant is not reflected in modern churches. I mean, I'm setting myself up right from the very start. But you know, I have peace. I'm not going to mince words. I'm going to put it out there. Okay? So, I've also, you know, done this little introductory message, and
you change shirts often.
This is a different shirt, guys. This one is more blue. I had planned on going ahead and playing this, but let's play it after church. We'll play it for everybody because we're really kind of running out of time here. But you know, it's pretty simple little site right now. There's a there's a contact us page, and I'll get to that. It's a very important page. This allows people to contact me without having to put my email address out there. Now the next one is kind of cool. It's called the Pastor's Blog, and this is going to be pretty cool. I want everybody to really engage in this. Okay. So what I'm going to do is, each one of these is, there's two different subjects here. One is called Prepared for the Journey. I blogged that one this morning, posted it this morning. I did this little welcome message the other day when I was first playing around with this. But the idea, go in and read these, and it'll explain my idea for what this little blog is about. I want to go out there and be able to put ideas and maybe doctrines and maybe, you know, different things that are on my mind or that are on your mind. You know, if you have things that are on your mind, email me and I'll create a new a new blog for it. And as you read these, you know, you'll type on, you click on welcome there, and it opens up the rest of the message. And I have linked this to a service called Discus. Now, what Discus allows us to do is to be able to have interactive comments back and forth to each other. So you can read this, and then you can comment on it. And down here, you'll see where it says subscribe via email. Encourage everybody, do it. Go down there and click that, subscribe via email. And then whenever there's comments and conversations back and forth, you get notified via email that they're going on. And we can have these kind of ongoing conversations about all sorts of different things. Okay? You know, not the least of which is, you know, back to the start here. I asked for input and questions and everything on the message today and the things that we're talking about today. So you can go there and do that. Now, the last link that's here, at least for now, is a members page. Now, let me explain this. We have an issue with my slides. A lot of times I go out on Google Images and I grab these images and I try to make the slides nice so that kind of pizzazz it a little bit. That is perfectly fine in this setting. I looked it up, I did some research, and copyright laws allow me to do that because I'm teaching, it's a private setting, and there's no issues with it whatsoever. The instant, though, that I take that slide presentation with that audio and post it publicly, I'm in violation. I can get sued. I mean, people get sued for $4,000, $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 for just grabbing a picture, you know. So we can't do it. So all of the messages that are out there on Brain Shark this afternoon will be gone. They'll no longer be there. What I have done laboriously all week is I have figured out a way to take the audio and the slides, combine them together, they say synced perfectly, and I can post them to YouTube. Okay, so YouTube is still the same problem as Brain Shark because it's a public posting. If you post them that way in that channel that I set up, can't do that. So what I've done is I've posted them and they are unlisted. You cannot get to the YouTube postings without knowing the URL, the specific URL to get to it. So nobody else can get to those videos unless they know the link. So I thought, okay, I'll put all the links on our webpage. But the webpage is public, all right? So when you go to this members page, I gotta do something here. When you go to the members page the first time, it's going to ask you for a password, just like that. So when you click members, it's going to ask you for a username and a password. That way now, all of the links are not public. Okay? So when you get here, you're just going to type in member. And the password is
that a username?
What? That member is a username.
But why, if you're in your discuss, they're all going to show up as members when they make comments?
No, this is just to get to that page. Okay, so we're going to go member. And then the password is orange. Got to come up with something. It's orange.
I know, but orange, you're glad you remember.
All right, orange, aren't you glad you remember?
Because it's orange up there.
All right. Well, you won't be seeing that orange when you're asked for the password. So then once you get here, if you click on any, you see I have gone clear back to last September. This has taken me all week. And all of the messages are here. Okay? So you just click on that and it flips you over to YouTube and you're there. Now, two things about YouTube. One, when you there is no way to set your YouTube viewer to default to 720 resolution. It will always come up as 360. And if you view these at 360, they're going to be grainy and yucky and they don't look good. Okay? So you have to change your resolution setting each time over to 720 when you pull it up. Now, Mom, if you forget how to do it, you can click this right here, and I have created a video on how to change your resolution settings. Okay? So let's just for grins, we'll see how this works. I touch that, it takes me over to YouTube, and it loads the video. It's that easy. Now, the neat thing about if you do it on an iPad, you don't have to worry about setting the settings. It will just do it automatically. So it just takes you over there and shows you how to do it. All right? We get out of that and go back to the site.
But with this member and OneFit, you can't tell people, hey, go check out the website.
No, you can't. Understand that all of these different things. Let's go back to our homepage. I'm going to take all of these topics. It's just going to take me time, okay? I'm going to take all these topics and all this stuff, and I'm going to redo them all. And when you go to this homepage, you're going to start seeing links over there on the sidebar. You're going to start seeing links down under here. For all of the same information, I'm going to put a holy day calendar up there. I'm going to do a whole series on each one of the holy days. I'm going to go through all of this information on the Sabbath and all of the and every one of the Ten Commandments and all of that. And it'll be posted up here publicly. But behind that, members and orange is just us. Now, having said that, if you know somebody and you know them, and you want to refer a specific person to there, for now, before I get all of this done, Brianna, you'd mentioned that too. I'll set up a special username and a special password for them that has an expiration date. And that way, even if they're sharing it and it gets out of control, it'll get cut off at a certain point and we won't have a lot of exposure. But anytime you share it, you need to say, look, these were for us internally, and they're not for public use because of copyright issues.
So you're setting up okay? The service publicly without the slideshow on here?
No.
What are you talking
about?
No, let's do questions later, because this has taken more time than I really wanted to. So anyway, guys, that's... I'm sorry, Bree, but I just got to get to it. That's what I've been working on. All right, so I guess in the time we've got left over, I want to go over seven things that are the duty of all of us as brothers and sisters in the body to do. These are things that, you know, as we do them, we will build strength and we'll make this a place that's prepared. Okay? That's the whole idea, is, you know, getting prepared for whatever God has for us. Okay? So, you know, let's call them the seven P's of a strong congregation. You know, what's your responsibility as a member? That's kind of, you know, I'm taking responsibility for this part. And I'm also taking responsibility as a member of the congregation. And this is what they are. All right, first one you might guess is praying. Now, please don't think, well, just praying, you know, just praying. No. It really seems like Satan wants us to think that that's just some boring, you know, passive part of our Christian duties. But it's not. It's first on this list for a reason. Okay? It's a very positive and privileged opportunity that pays great dividends. Do you understand, you know, what it means, you know, in Washington, D.C. to have the ear of the president? You don't even have to be president if you've got the ear of the president. You can wield great power by just having the ear of the president. You've got the ear of Almighty God. You've got the president of the universe. And you've got his ear. 1 John 1, 3 says this, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yes, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Yeshua the Messiah. The word fellowship here means sharing what you have in common. And that is the intimate relationship that we have with God, that He wants to have with us. It's not just praying. You know, it shouldn't be viewed as a chore, but as a dynamic, active conversation with God. You know, our spiritual life largely depends on our prayer life. And part of doing God's work is fervently praying for that work. You know, I mean, that it's part of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done. That's praying for the work and being specific about it. We have been given the understanding of the gospel of the kingdom of God. We went over that. Well, that was just last week, wasn't it? It should be fresh. You know, you need to pray for that. You need to pray to, you know, rescue us from this world, from, you know, the evil that's here. We need to pray for those that are sick. We need to, you know, selfishly, we need to pray for our pastor, you know, that God will guide and direct him. We should pray for strength to forgive people, to be able to walk in peace. You know, there's just so much that, you know, a guy could say about that. Obviously, you could give a whole series of sermons on prayer. But it's an essential part of preparing for what God has for us, you know. So praying is the first one. The second one completes an age-old saying about church responsibilities. Yeah, have you ever heard the saying, pay and pray? You know, some people say, wow, yeah, ministry's doing their thing and we just pay and pray. It's kind of a derogatory thing because, you know, that's not reflective of the duties within all of us, you know, inside the body of Christ. You know, and you guys know my stance on tithing. I've explained it before. You know, it's funny how church leaders will stand up and they'll be, you know, talk for 30 minutes on grace and, you know, how the law's nailed to the cross and then pass the plate and say it's required of you to give 10%.
Who says?
I mean, how hypocritical that is. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. The tithing law was set up as a reflection of God's nature. It was set up as a civil part of the law to provide for the government. Who was the government in Israel? The priests. The Aaron, the tribe of Aaron, was given the priesthood, and it was their responsibility to carry out all the work that went along with you know, butchering calves and goats and doing this and that. And, you know, they had to be provided for. They were the government. And, you know, in the world tomorrow, in the millennium, when Yeshua is ruling and the government of God, we covered that last week, is there going to be taxes? Yeah, the government's got to work. There's services, there's things that have to happen. I know for a fact. But you know what? The whole thing's going to run on a tithe. It's not going to be, you know, 42% and so much for this bracket and so much for that bracket and a tax code that's this tall. No. It's 10% of your increase. And God will run the whole world on that. Righteously. That's what the tithing law was. Let's not beat around the bush. Israel's gone. If you look at it that way, like it's still a law, guess what? I'm paying four times the law right now to the government. I'm 40-some percent tax bracket. It's ridiculous. Now, the flip side of that is, guys, it's a blessing to tithe. It's the one thing that God said, hey, test me. I'll show you. 90% goes further than 100%. Is it a law that you tithe? No. Are you screwing yourself by not doing it? Yeah. Because your 100% is not going to go as far as my 90. And that's just the way it is. Okay? It takes faith to step out and believe, really believe what God says. I've said this how many times? There's a difference between hearing something and thinking, okay, well, I agree with that, and then actually walking out what you heard. That shows you really believe it. That's belief. I mean, look at this, Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Okay? There's a promise there. It's overflowing. There's so many verses we could go to. But, you know, how many people here believe that? I mean, put up your hand if you believe it. I mean, and be, you know, reach for the sky. You really believe it. Okay. Then do it. Right? If you believe it, then do it. And I'm going to tell you, this is really weird because it was not planned. She is my witness. Was not planned. Sherilyn came to me and she brought me the box and she said, you know, you need to do labels for this box for the tithing. I looked at her and I'm like, okay. I didn't say anything to her. But yeah, it wasn't planned. But anyway, there it is. Make yourself, avail yourself of it. It won't be passed around. This is between you and God. Because how can we build the church without resources? You know, we can't. You know, we will all, me included, be pouring into God's storehouse so that we can be prepared when the appointed time comes to use it. You know, it's right and proper for us to use it for all sorts of things. You know, for worship, for the holy days, for, you know, you got to have lecterns, I got to have software, you know, there, you know. We have to have resources in order to be prepared. Tithing is a blessing though, so, you know, regardless of that, don't miss out on it. It's a blessing. Okay. So pay and pray. Next one. Participating. Look, guys, it's not all about the work of the pastor. Hello? I'm committing myself to serving, and I'm allotting the lion's share of my time. And I mean, when I say that, I'm putting over 40 hours a week in. I mean, it's a line. I mean, I'm keeping up with my other stuff, but I'm also down there many nights till when? Okay, sometimes 2 in the morning. You know, the Holy Spirit's chugging. You know, you rock on, right? Okay. It's not my work, it's God's work. But and every single one of you is called to be a part of it. And so engage. You know, you can participate on the blog. I've given you a great tool right there to give input and help with research and stuff. And guys, if you haven't noticed, we're pretty small. So what's that mean? That means everything needs done. Everything. You know, you can't look around and wait for somebody else to do it because you're that person. Don't just sit there and wait for somebody else. There isn't anybody else. You know, we've got beautiful voices in here. Beautiful voices. We've got people that know how to play instruments very well.
He was right at you.
Alex has a beautiful.
We have curriculum to develop for young kids. I understand. You know, we've got web designers and we've got all kinds of things. People that know how to study their Bibles. And lots of things. So every single person here needs to evaluate their talents and bring them to bear for the good of this body. Guys, this isn't the Scott Show. This is us coming to worship God. This is about us worshiping God. And we all have a part to make it work. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom all the body being fitted and knit together through that which every joint supplies according to the working and measure of each individual part makes the body increase to the building up of itself in love. It takes every joint, every muscle, every bone to make up a functioning body. I can come up here and be a mouth for an hour a week, but that's not a body. It takes all of us to make the body. So let's all participate. Our next one is providing. Now, what do we have to provide? We have our gifts to provide. Our gifts. And don't sit there and tell me you don't have any gifts. Because you do. You know? And we're not to sit on them, but provide them to the body. In Romans 12, it says, having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, if prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or service, let us give ourselves to service. Or he who teaches, to his teaching. Or he who exhorts, to his exhorting. He who gives, let him do it with liberality. He who rules, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. It doesn't say at the beginning of this that some have gifts. It just says having them. It's assuming them, having them to the grace that was given, past tense. You know, if you can't think of what your gift is, then develop one. You know, develop one. The other thing that we provide is service. Service. Let me get real with you guys for a minute, okay? A long time ago when we started this journey, we had the realization that we needed to get back to the early church. Remember? We need to get back to the faith that was once delivered. We need to get back to the purity of what Yeshua delivered to those Jews. And you know that early church? Guys, this is it. Right here. You realize how much this reflects that early church? They didn't meet in big mega buildings. They met in homes. And people served each other. They strengthened each other. That's where we get the idea of iron sharpening iron. They rubbed up against each other, knocking the rough edges off of one another. And we've got rough edges. There's people in here that are struggling with marriage issues, child-rearing issues, anger issues, work issues, relationship issues, all sorts of things. And the reason I ask is, can we get real? It's because in that mega church, you know what you can do? You can come in and you can sit down and you can raise your hand and sing the songs, listen politely to the minister, and leave. And no effect. But in this setting, what we need to do is we've got to encourage one another. We've got to strengthen one another. We've got to call each other out. You know, that early church, they didn't put up with it. When somebody was sinning, there's a whole section of scripture about when you see your brother sinning. It doesn't necessarily mean sinning against you. It means if you see him having an issue with something, it's okay. In this world now, we don't want to offend someone in our political correctness. No. Out of love, you should go to your brother and say, "Hey, I'm seeing this. You know, am I wrong?" First of all, make sure that you're not screwy. You know, go to him in love and say, "You know, Bubba, I heard you telling that story, and dude, I was there, and it wasn't nothing like that. Do we need to talk about that commandment? We need to talk about the purity of your mouth? Can I help you somehow? Let's pray together." You know, you can roll along in a sin for a long time, but you know what? As soon as somebody calls you on it, a lot of times you're like, "Oh, yeah, okay, well, I can't do that in the dark anymore. I better take care of it." That's iron sharpening iron. Make sense?
Yeah.
Biggest thing is that, you know, it has to be done in a spirit of service, of concern and love. And then be able to, you know, have enough, you know, stick-to-itiveness that you're gonna stay with them. That you're gonna hold them up. Not just hold them accountable, but hold them up. And help them through it. Can we be transparent enough with each other that we can do that? If so, we're going to get strong and we're going to get prepared. Let's move on. Okay, providing. The next one is promoting. Years ago, the church that Sherilyn and I attended had a college. And it was named Ambassador College. It's a great name for a college, for a church organization. Fabulous. Why? Because they considered themselves as creating ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And that's what we should be, you know. Some of the stuff they taught was kind of screwy. But the analogy of those being in the body, being ambassadors for the kingdom of God, is a good one. You know, look at what Yeshua said in Matthew 5. Verse 16, he said, "Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. People are watching you, especially when they know when you've shared anything with them. Man, they're watching you. You're an ambassador. Your actions and your example out there are important. Do you know that statistically, overwhelmingly, you know, the reason given for why people join a particular church is because of the example of someone that they know? Overwhelming. You can talk the truth all you want, but at the end of the day, the saying rings true. Your actions speak louder than your words, and I can't hear what you're saying. It goes both ways. It can work for you, and it can work against you. So let your light shine. Be a promoter. Okay? Our next one is preparing. But instead of just preparing, this whole thing is about preparing. But this is about personal preparing. Guys, you can't expect anybody else to do your Bible study for you. Nobody else can do your praying for you. Nobody else can do your fasting for you. You've got to do it. This is one of the most important duties that you have before God. To spiritually prepare yourself to be an instrument to be used by God. You have to prepare spiritually for that. Look at this. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, give diligence. Diligence. What's diligence require? Planning. It requires planning. It requires purpose. It requires effort, consistency, self-control. A lot there. Give diligence to present yourself approved by God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, properly handling the word of truth. You know, I can teach and bring things to you, but guys, you got to chew it. You got to make it yours. You got to meditate on it. You got to look it up. You got to make it part of you. I can't do that for you. You understand that that's why I have spent so much time making sure that all of these messages are available to you again? You know, when I stand up here and do this and you walk away, I have chosen my words very carefully. And I pack sometimes a lot of stuff in there. You're going to walk out of here with maybe 5% of it. And half of that will be gone 2 days later. I don't post that stuff up there for my health. I don't post it up there just so that people that miss can go back and get caught up. I post it there because I believe, and I've seen it in myself, and I'm the one that gave it, that I can go back, as I've stated before, and get stuff out of it. I can't do it for you. You've got to want it. You got to pull it out of there. You got to look it up. You got to make it yours. So that when the time comes that you need it, it's like, oh, what did Scott say? I'm not going to cut it. You know, you need to be well versed on our doctrinal teachings as a workman. How sharp and ready are your tools to implement practical Bible wisdom? When the appointed time comes, as a workman, how sharp are your tools? You know, just as in a career, if you poorly understand in theory, you're also going to poorly perform in practice. Right? You must spend time in the Word and absorb the principles of God to be prepared for what is coming next. Next. Last one. Oh, well, nobody said Yahoo, so I guess that's good. Persevering. You know, this race is not easy. As we learned a couple weeks ago, spiritual warfare is not for the faint of heart. We're not going to coast into the kingdom of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. It says, if you falter at the time of trouble, your strength is small. So the opposite of that is true. If your strength is small, you're going to falter at the time of trouble. All right? We have to build strength in times of peace so that we're ready in times of trouble. Right? They don't take a brand new soldier that signs up and send him to the front. They take him to training. And he trains and he gets strong and he learns and he gets ready. And when he's ready, then they send him. Right? You don't want to waste a soldier. The same thing goes for Olympics, you know, if you're going to go to the Olympics, if you're going to train for some sport, if you're going to run a marathon, you don't just go right out and do it. You got to train and you got to persevere through that. Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians. He said, don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run like that, that you may win. Be the one that trained. Be the one that's ready. Be the one that perseveres. Every man who strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown. But we do it for an incorruptible crown. If you're going to run the race, be prepared to run the race. Okay. That's what I've got for you. Guys, this week, I just feel like we're in a time, in a season of preparation. I don't know what God has in store for us. I really don't. But I know that in the appointed time, we will know if we're ready. Because he doesn't reveal the whole path. He simply gives us the next step. And he says, if you're walking with me, here's the next step. Just believe that it's the right one. And you take that one, son or daughter, and I'll show you what the next one is. That's walking with God in faith. See, if he showed us the whole thing and we knew all of it, where would the faith be in him? We exercise our faith by taking one step at a time. And I've got faith, I do, that God's going to lead us exactly where he wants us to go. But we need to be prepared for the journey. Amen? Amen. Amen.